Vidura's talks with Maitreya, text 17, which is on the board. Shri Shukravacha,
Shri Shukravacha,
Sa,
Sa,
Evam,
Evam,
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan,
Krishna,
Krishna,
Kshatra,
Kshatra,
Kosharva,
Muni,
Pumsam,
Nishreyasartena,
Tam,
Aha,
Baho,
Manayan,
Sri Shukra Vacha,
Saevam Bhagavan Prishta,
Kshatrako Sharavo Muni,
Pumsam
Nishreyasartena, Tamaha Bahumanayan, Shri Shukra Vacha, Saevam Bhagavan Prishta, Kshatrako Sharavo Muni, Om Sam Nishreya Sartena, Tamaha Bahumanayam, Shri Shukra Vacha, Saevayam Bhagavan Prishta, Kshatrako Sharavo Muni, Om Sam Nishreya Sartena, Tamaha Bahumanayam. Shri
Shukravacha.
Shri
Shukadev Goswami say. Sahi Eva. Thus Bhagavan, the great sage, Prishta, being requested, Kshatra, by Vidura, Kosharava, Maitreya, Muni, the great sage, Pumsa, for all people, Nishreyasa, for the greatest welfare, Artena, for that, Tam, unto him, Aha, narrated, Bahu, greatly, Manayam, honoring. Translation. Shukadev Goswami said, it's okay. The great sage Maitreya Muni, after honoring Vidura very greatly, began to speak at Vidura's request for the greatest welfare of all people. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Maitreya Muni is described here as Bhagavan because he surpassed all ordinary human beings in learning and experience. Thus, his selection of the greatest welfare service for the world is considered authoritative. The all-inclusive welfare service for the entire human society is devotional service to the Lord. And, as requested by Vidura, the Lord described the same very appropriately. Let me just read the verse again. Sri Shukuru Vacha, Sa Evam Bhagavan Prishta, Shatrako Sharavo Muni, Pumsam Nishreyasartena, Tamaha Bahumanayan. Shukadev Goswami said, the great sage Maitreya Muni, after honoring Vidura very greatly, began to speak at Vidura's request for the greatest welfare of all people. Can you give Maharaj?
Sri Chaitanya Manobhisham Stati Tanyena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Ham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamstra Sri Rupam Sampradatam Sahagana Ravana Tanvikam Tam Sajivam Sarvetam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam. Sarvetam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamstra Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Nama Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Desatarani Vanchakalpa Trubhischa Kripa Sindhu Vyayucha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Moma Avadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Tushenam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagadpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripi. Okay, thank you. If you don't mind, I'll just read a couple more verses because they all go together. It's interesting that Maitreya is glorifying Vidura, you know, same like the sages in the beginning. You know, they glorified the sages for asking good questions. because that enlivens devotees. So he says, O Vidura, it is not at all wonderful that you have accepted the Lord without deviation of thought, for you were born from the semen of Vyasadeva. Purport. The value of great parentage and noble birth is evaluated here in connection with the birth of Vidura. The culture of a human being begins when the father invests his semen in the womb of the mother. According to the status of work, a living entity is placed in particular father's womb. I don't know if I'm going to be talking. It's getting worse. For the time being. So,
okay.
I would rather listen to Bhakti Chaitanya right now.
Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shilati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Kacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vastu Chyadeshitarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaitigadadha Shivas Adi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Well, how nice to be with you all again, and particularly with His Holiness Kavichandra Maharaj. But what a shame he's unwell. Really, honestly, I was just looking forward so much to just sitting here and bathing in the nectar of his Krishna Katha. Okay, well, yeah. We must do some prayers for his better health, and then hopefully shortly he can address us also. Well, yes, regarding the verse and the purport, I didn't really read on, you know, when I first looked yesterday at the verse, or this morning even. I just thought about this verse and of making a couple of little comments about it. And then I was thinking of saying something about more about Lord Chaitanya, if that's okay. But it's an interesting point that Prabhupada, and it's interesting the way he expresses it, in the purport, if I can just go back, in the purport, in that, let's see, oops, in that, well, of course, as noted, and you probably picked it up yourselves too, just looking at it, that Maitreya Muni is being addressed as Bhagavan. And we're all, of course, very familiar with this term. And it's generally reserved for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is actually Bhagavan, in fact, who is the possessor of all opulences, completely. But, therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, we find whenever Lord Krishna starts, you know, there's exchanges going on back and forth between him and Arjuna. And whenever Lord Krishna begins his next presentation of some verses, then it says, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. I think in every case, as far as I recall. And you might have noted, I don't know if you really noticed, but there is not one case, one place, where when Lord Krishna starts speaking, that it says, Sri Krishna Uvacha. Yeah, it could say that, why not? Yes, of course, why not? But no, it always says, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. And I was reading a while, some time ago actually, Srila Prabhupada was talking about this. And Prabhupada was making the point that this term, Bhagavan, of course it's used as a name, but in another sense it's a title, Bhagavan, that person who possesses all opulences, whereas Krishna is more a name than a title. Of course, obviously it has its meaning, its significance, the all-attractive person, which can be a title, but still, in general, historically, Krishna is used more as a name, and Bhagavan is used more as a title. Yeah. So, and as a title, Bhagavan, you cannot really get much higher than that. Bhagavan, that person who possesses all opulences in full. It's like very high level or highest level title for super elevated person and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas Krishna is more used as a name. And I'm sure you all, you know, you are all, I think, all from Indian backgrounds. I'm sure you know many Krishnas, isn't it? I know many Krishnas in South Africa, at least. There's so many Krishnas. Mauritius, these places I frequent. Yeah. And I know many Radhas, too. So many Radhas, and a few, some Radhikas, quite a lot of Vishnus, yeah. Ramas, oh yeah, Ramas are there. But Bhagavans, in terms of a name, actually, I only know one, maybe you know some Bhagavans, meaning, you know, as an actual name. But there's one family, prominent business family in Durban, South Africa, and their family name is Bhagavan. And the one young man who's been our very good friend for so many years, his name is Ginger Bhagavan. How's that? Ginger, that's his name. His calling name, at least. Ginger Bhagavan. He's a nice chap. But otherwise, Bhagavans, I don't know others. Maybe you don't. Or maybe I bumped into a few, but it's not like the Krishnas. In fact, I was in Mauritius a while ago, maybe a year or two, and I met one young fellow, and I asked him, what's your name? He's a devotee. I asked him, what's your name? He said, Krishna. I said, really? I've been looking for you for years. But he was not that one, the big one from up there. He was just the local one. So again, another disappointment. So Bhagavan is particularly used for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but as is the case here, and we do encounter it here and there in Srimad Bhagavatam elsewhere, it's used, not often but sometimes, to address someone who is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but is very special in some way or another, you know, some important spiritual Krishna conscious way. And, you know, Shukadev Goswami is addressed as Bhagavan. I don't know how many occasions, but there's at least one. Maybe there's more. Lord Brahma is addressed as Bhagavan. Lord Shiva is addressed as Bhagavan in Srimad Bhagavatam. And there's probably a few other examples. Narada Muni is also, yes, addressed as Bhagavan. And it's because they have, not that they have all the opulences in full, but certainly they have one, at least one particular opulence to a very, like, outstanding degree. Yeah. And in the context of whatever is being discussed there at that point in the Bhagavatam, they may display that special quality, which is a quality of the Lord, and they may display it in some outstanding way. And therefore it can be done like that. So here we have it. And it's interesting that, I found it interesting, that the verse says that here, Maitreya Muni, he honored Vidura very greatly. Then he began to speak at Vidura's request for the greatest welfare of all people. This is the particular thing, quality, which he has, which is why he's being addressed as Bhagavan. And Prabhupada explains that Maitreya Muni is described here as Bhagavan because he surpassed all ordinary human beings in learning and experience. Yeah. Yeah. And therefore, because he had this, like, super outstanding qualification, learning and experience, surpassing ordinary people and practically anyone, like Jiva souls. Therefore, when he selected something as the greatest welfare service for the world, we should understand it is. It is the greatest welfare activity for the Lord, because he is in such a position, he has such qualification, that if he selects something as that, or as anything perhaps, as the greatest of this or the greatest of that, then we can say, yes, it is. And then we don't have to worry, is there something better like that? So it's nice. And of course he's going to speak. You know, this is the beginning here of a lengthy exchange. Lengthy back and forward and back again and forward again. For many chapters in Srimad Bhagavatam, it may even be that the discussion between Vidura and Maitreya is the most sort of voluminous of all discussions in Srimad Bhagavatam. If not, it's right up there, going on for many chapters. And it's important. It's extremely important. And of course, his selection. Now, we're told that if he selects something as the greatest welfare activity, that's an authoritative selection. And what is he selecting? Devotional service. Devotional service to the Lord. So, we can accept it then, that if you want to help people, the greatest way to help them is give them devotional service. You engage in devotional service, and you help them to engage in devotional service, and you are doing the best thing, and you can't do better. That's nice, because we know that in this world people try to help other people sometimes. Anyway, normally they try to help themselves, but sometimes they try to help others, particularly if they help themselves by helping others. But anyway, it tends to be like that. There was a court case in Germany a few years ago, maybe five. Someone took a welfare organization, fairly prominent, like Red Cross. It wasn't Red Cross, but that sort of thing, to court, saying that we are donating so much money to your organization on the grounds that help the people in some way or another, but very little is going into helping the people. Most of it goes to wages for you people, and so you're the ones who are getting the welfare. You're not helping the people. So it was a fairly big law case, and in the middle of it, the leader of the welfare organization said that, why are you singling us out? Because this is normal for welfare organizations. This is normal. If I remember correctly, it was definitely less than 10% of what was received through donations, which went to actually help those who they were purporting to help. Isn't that interesting? It may have only been about 2%, but it was really not a lot. It was really not a lot. And rather, they were quite nicely salaried people. Yes. They were doing well, helping others, but they were just helping themselves. So it's not nice, is it? And therefore, you know, when we do our food for life and so on and so forth, of course, you know, we may need to employ people because we can't get free, voluntary work all the time. But we've got to be very careful that we don't lose our sort of integrity. Yeah. And end up like these people, because it's not good at all. So yes, the greatest welfare work is to give people Krishna consciousness. It will help the people and it will help us if we give them. Sometimes people make the point, or they try to make the point, that we, you know, we do food for life, we're distributing prasadam, vegetarian. But some people say that when you're vegetarian and you're specifically opposed to meat eating, then what's so good about that? Because you're killing the vegetables. Which is true. We're definitely killing the vegetables. What subject did you have last night here after the program? I didn't see it.
Cabbage.
How many cabbages got destroyed, assassinated, annihilated? It's true. It's actually true. Potato. Was there potato there also? Some aloo? How many aloos bit the dust? How many? Plenty, I'm sure. Huh? 20 kgs of aloo went to the place of no return. At least in physical terms. So there's truth in it. It's not untrue. And therefore, these people say that if everyone became vegetarian, then it would be a celebration for the animals. It'd be a great celebration. Every year it would be in the calendar. Yes. For the animals' calendar. But, so it would be very good for the animals, but it would be very bad for the vegetables. Because instead of eating the animals, people would eat the vegetables. So many more vegetables would be killed. It would be a terrible day for the vegetables. And it's actually true, because they have the right to live. So therefore they think that we should not feel so satisfied that we're doing a good thing by not killing the animals. But Srila Prabhupada makes the point, and it's just there in Shastra, that when the vegetarian food is offered to the Lord, then of course it is good, or it is not bad, but it is good for those who eat it. But it's also good for the vegetables. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, I did a little research one time several years ago, and Srila Prabhupada makes the point that the vegetables may at least get a human birth. What to speak of that? They may even go back to Godhead if they're, cooked with love and devotion by a devotee, and then offered with love and devotion, to the deity, and then distributed with love and devotion, like this. Your aloo last night may have gone back to Godhead. And what to speak of your bund gobi? Your cabbage. Seriously. So sometimes we jokingly say, but it's not a joke, it's actually true, that when you all, because you're all such nice devotees, you're all just such wonderful devotees, some of you I've known many years, and I can vouch for you, you're just great. So, Hare Krishna, when, not if, but when, you go back to Godhead and you enter the gates of Goloka, one devotee may greet you as you come in and say, oh, it's you, such and such Das or Devi Dasi from Singapore. Oh, I remember you. Do you remember me? I was that potato that you ate on, what was it, Saturday the 23rd of March 2019 in Singapore. Do you remember me? Welcome to Goloka Vrindavan. So it may sound like a little joke, but actually it's true. It's actually true. It's very true. It really is. That those aloos and bund gobies who you ate last night, they may already be there in Goloka. Maybe not also, but it's possible. Yeah. They may have beaten you there. And they may greet you and meet you when you enter in due course. In fact, one devotee was telling us he had a dream. And in the dream, he died. Hari Bol. And he arrived at the gates of Goloka. And there was someone there, like security, checking person. Who are you? Who are you? And the person asked them, what's your name? And the devotee said, I am whatever, Krishna Das. And the checking person at the gate of Goloka said, who? Krishna Das? There's so many Krishna Dasas. Which one are you? And the devotee said, me. I am the Krishna Das, the servant of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And the person, the checker on the gate said, really? Why didn't you say that? Come in. Welcome to Goloka. So our qualification is never going to be that we are just, you know, good devotees. Our qualification is going to be we're connected to Srila Prabhupada because he's like Maitreya. You know, arguably, in a certain sense, the term Bhagavan could be applied to him and it wouldn't really be inappropriate, although we don't do it. But in this sense, it must be appropriate, actually. Because he's such a uniquely special person in Krishna consciousness. So, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, one devotee put it nicely to me a while ago, a couple of years ago, that it's really nice to enjoy Krishna consciousness. The kirtan, the katar, the association, the prasadam, and all the other components which make up the world of Krishna consciousness. But, he said, never forget where you got it from. Never forget. Because relationship, the connection, the actual point of connection of the yoga, that is always like an absolute factor in the picture. So Maitreya, he's such a person. If he selects something as the best this or the best that or the best welfare activity, in this case, then we can know, yes. And we don't need to do further research or stress about it. And if Prabhupada, whatever Prabhupada says, we can just accept it, fine. That's nice. So, you know, I mentioned last night that I think most of you are here. Anyway, I mentioned about this point of stickability, like perseverance, despite challenges. Because challenges are always going to be here. You can look forward to many challenges, yes, in an optimistic way. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj would say, when I see a test coming to me in my Krishna consciousness, I think, here comes Krishna in the form of a test. and he just would embrace the tests. And therefore he did a seminar once. This is just an interesting little point. He did a seminar once. You might be able to locate it on the internet. How to love those who hurt you the most. What do you think about that? Anyway, you think about it. How to love those who hurt you the most. In a real way. In a real way. Yeah. Not like a masochistic type of way, but in a real way. To love those who hurt you. Yeah, so that's stickability. You know, there's one little story I could mention. I probably told it here before. That when Lord Krishna left Vrindavan 5,000 years ago, when he left, or just immediately before he left, like the day before, Lord Krishna went and said goodbye to everyone, so many devotees who were all around different parts of Vrajmandala. So he went to a place called, well, let's see, he went to a couple of places famous for this. He went to a place called Bandiravan. If you've been to Vrindavan, you may have been to Bandiravan. If you haven't, we are going there in November. We're having a great Vrajmandal Parikrama by bus. Anyway, Bandiravan is across the river from Vrindavan town and a little to the north. And there was a devotee there, Sridhar, who of course is the brother of Srimati Radharani. And Lord Krishna approached Sridhar and said, you know, I'm leaving Vrindavan, but I'll be back tomorrow. And Sridhar said, well, all right, but I just have a feeling you're not coming back. And Krishna said, no, I'm coming back tomorrow. If I don't come back tomorrow, I'll be back the next day. And Sridhar said, well, you know, I just have this feeling. You're not coming back. And Krishna said, no. I'll be back. If not the day after tomorrow, definitely the day after. And that's it. And Sridhar said, all right, I will wait here on the spot until you come. And Krishna says, sure, just wait there and you'll see. I'll be back probably tomorrow. So Sridhar stood there on the spot. You know, X marks the spot. And he didn't move because he's waiting for Krishna. And the devotees came, his parents came in the evening and said, Sridhar, you must come home now. It's the evening. Sridhar said, no. I am waiting here. I told Krishna I would wait. Here I am. That's it. All right. So he waited overnight. The next day, Krishna did not return. And Sridhar was still on the same spot. And by the next night, he hadn't returned. Sridhar's parents are getting a little sort of, you know, quite concerned. But Sridhar said, no, I am waiting here. That's it. And he did. And then the next night, he was still there on the same spot. And his parents, they were just sort of beside themselves. But he was not moving. After 1 week, he was still there. After 1 month, he was still there. After 1 year, He was still there on the same spot. He had not moved. After 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, he was still there. See, we're talking about stickability, perseverance, higher level perseverance. We're not on such a high level. 10 years, he was still there. 50 years, he was still there, waiting. Because Krishna said, all right, just wait on the spot. So after 50 years, he was still there. And this just went on. Finally, Lord Krishna returned 4,500 years later as Lord Chaitanya. Sridham had turned into a deity. And Lord Krishna embraced the deity and said, see, I told you I'd come back. This is high level stickability, perseverance. Super high level. Yeah. So, we don't expect you, and don't ask me, please, to do something like that. But at least we can appreciate in a respectful mood what sort of dedication and consciousness this is a display of. It's just unbelievable. And there's another one. If you've been to Govardhan Hill, there's Lota Baba down at the end there, southern end. And the story is essentially the same. It's sort of they're interchangeable stories. Sometimes you get that in these places. Waiting Baba, Lota Baba. But we should at least appreciate what an important quality it is to persevere. And of course, perseverance can only really be there if there's some challenge. As Prabhupada said, if everything is going nicely, going fine, anyone can chant and dance Hari Hari Bol. It's not difficult. It's easy. But when there's some challenge, that's when, you know, certain deeper qualities have to be there. For you to be successful. So this is very, at least it's a point to meditate on. Last night we talked about Mukunda, if you were here. And it was a sort of related situation, at least in principle. He was going to have to wait for 10 million years to see Lord Chaitanya, but it didn't worry him at all. He didn't complain that it's, you know, it's too much. Should be more flexible. There's another example I was going to mention last night, but we ran out of time. Was a case with Shivananda Sen. It's from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antyalila, chapter 12. It's described there how Shivananda Sen was organizing the party to go on pilgrimage from Bengal, from Navadvip area, to Jagannath Puri every year. He was the organizer. And so he would take care of all the devotees and make all the arrangements while they're en route. Because in those days, they didn't have trains, the most common source of long-distance transportation in India. They definitely didn't have planes. They walked, and it's maybe 700 kilometers or something. How long would it take? We're talking about a good few weeks for a whole mixed group. Men, ladies, some older people, some children. Yeah, it took some time. I remember once, back actually it was the first time I went to India in 1976, 43 years ago, that we decided, two of us decided, we stayed on after the devotees, the festival had finished, and we decided to take a trip to Radhakund, and we thought, let's do it in a very natural way, ecological, eco-friendly way. Let's take a bullock cart. So we took a bullock cart from the Krishna Balaram temple to Radhakund. And it took the whole day. We left early, we got there in the evening, and the poor bullock, anyway, we made it, put it that way. Yes. So it takes time. It really takes time. So Shivananda Sen was doing all these things, and this time Lord Nityananda was in the party, going from Navadvip to Puri to visit Lord Chaitanya, because he stayed when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. Lord Nityananda went with him to take sannyas, and then went with him back to Navadvip, and then went with him to Puri, and stayed there for some time in Puri with Lord Chaitanya. But then Lord Chaitanya told him that now you go back to Bengal and you spread the Sankirtan movement. So he did that. So yeah, but then occasionally, not every year, occasionally, he would come with the party of devotees to Puri to visit Lord Chaitanya and see the Ratha Yatra and like that. So this time he was there, and Shivananda Sen was leading the party, and Lord Nityananda is famous for his, you know, it was you, wasn't it? It was him, talking about blaspheming devotees or finding fault or that sort of idea. Lord Nityananda was such a devotee and such a person that if you had a tendency to find fault, you might find fault with Lord Nityananda, actually. Because he had just a very unusual character. You know, some might even say eccentric, but at least a very unusual character. When they would go on Harinam, he would dress up. Sometimes when we go on Harinam, some of the ladies, you know, they put these this sort of gold or artificial gold jewelry down their parting and onto their forehead, you know, that sort of idea to sort of make themselves look more presentable, I guess. But for Lord Nityananda, that was nothing. He would wear kilos of gold. Kilos. And bangles right up his arm. Solid gold with gems. And anklets, and, you know, not your ordinary nose ring, but some super duper nose ring. You get the idea. Oh, it was extreme by normal. It would make, you know, someone who's going to be married, getting married, would make that look like cheap. Millions of dollars worth of gold and gems for Harinam. So, yeah, and some would criticize. And then his behavior was sometimes also unusual. So in this case here, it's there in the 12th chapter of Ancha Lila. Shivananda Sen is leading the party, and one evening or afternoon, they had walked for so many hours during the day, now they're going to stay overnight. Shivananda Sen just got caught up in some pressing business, making arrangements, dealing with government officials and tax collectors, and he just couldn't get away. And he didn't make arrangements for Lord Nityananda to stay, a place to stay and to get prasadam. And Lord Nityananda got very upset. And what he said, let me just see here, what does he say? Shivananda Sen has not arranged for my residence, he complained. And I'm so hungry, I could die. Because he has not come, I curse his three sons to die. Wow. That's a bit extreme, isn't it? At least, you know, if I had to deal with that from one of you. Why are you going on talking so long? I'm so hungry, I'm going to die. Curse you. You stole my samosa. I curse you. May you become a samosa in your next life. So now, Shivananda Sen, there he is. And his family was there. And when his wife heard this, she started crying. And she just really felt upset that, you know, for this, he's cursed our sons to die. They're nice boys. What have they done? Why should they die? But Shivananda Sen, his consciousness was such that he replied, and listen to this, and ladies particularly, fasten your seatbelts. All right. Are you ready? Are you sure you're ready? Are you sure you're sure? Anyway, I hope you are. Shivananda Sen replied, sure, it's heavy. You crazy woman. You crazy woman. Why are you needlessly crying? Let my three sons die for all the inconvenience we've caused Nityananda Prabhu. Anyway, you can just meditate on this a bit. Lord Nityananda, sometimes he's hard to deal with. Yeah, okay, okay. So then, yeah, we're getting there, step by step. So then, Lord Nityananda, oops. Shivananda Sen came, and Lord Nityananda kicked him in the chest. That's quite a kick. Yeah. Wow, Hari Bol, what can you say except Hare Krishna? So when this happened, when his wife complained and he chastised his wife so strongly, he went to apologize to Lord Nityananda, and it was then that Lord Nityananda kicked him. And Shivananda, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, he was very pleased at being kicked by Lord Nityananda. He took it as mercy. And he quickly arranged some nice accommodation for Lord Nityananda, a 5-star milkman's house. It was. That's what it said. Well, it doesn't say five-star. But, quickly arrange for a milkman's house to be the Lord's residence. Touch the Lord's lotus feet and then glorify Lord Nityananda. Today is just the best day for me. You have finally accepted me as your servant and chastised me. Because normally Lord Nityananda, Shivananda's the leader, and Lord Nityananda would sort of cooperate and do what he was told to do. But in other words, Lord Nityananda sort of treating him as being a little on a higher level. So Shivananda thanked him. Today you have accepted me as your servant by chastising me, because you only chastise juniors. You don't chastise seniors. Just don't do it. You must remember that, Beta. Okay. No chastising seniors. Beti, you must remember also. No chastising Mata and Bahuji. Always be very respectful. Yeah. So your chastising me is your causeless mercy. Who can understand you? Which is true. And we shouldn't sort of try and delve into it too much or worry about it too much. Yeah. Today my family and my activities have all become successful. Today I have achieved the fulfillment of religious principles, economic development, satisfaction of the senses, and ultimately devotional service to Lord Krishna. And when Lord Nityananda heard this, he was very happy and he got up and embraced Shivananda Singh. When will we be embraced by Lord Nityananda? When will that day come? Yeah. So, yes, when we as devotees, different things happen to us, have already happened. And I imagine you can think back to when some event happened in your Krishna conscious life and you didn't react so nicely. I mean, don't tell me it never happened to you. I'm sure it did, because conditioned nature is like that. But now and for the future, let us try and meditate a little on this point, that the Lord appreciates it so much when devotees tolerate and stick in their devotional service, despite challenges, even serious challenges. And as the devotee chants more, and really tries to chant without offenses more, and really tries to cultivate this mood of persevering and carrying on, and not being easily discouraged. This is one of the main things which the Lord appreciates. And from that can develop love. Now it's easy to love or feel that sort of emotion when life is good. Haribol, things are going my way. But it's more difficult when things are going the other way. Yeah. So that's my little message for you for today. Let's see. How is His Holiness? He wants to ask a question, my God. Go about the vegetables.
Krishna was trying to tell us.
Oh, well, that's, yeah, okay, interesting point. The vegetables benefit, as we mentioned, and Prabhupada has talked about it on a number of occasions. And even one time I read that he says they may go back to Godhead. I remember that clearly. So Maharaj is asking, what about the cows if we use their milk? What happens to the cows? Well, the cows go back to Godhead. You know, there's controversy, some controversy, in certain circles of devotees in our movement about should we use commercial milk? Because, of course, commercial milk is produced in a very abusive system. Highly abusive, I mean, not just abusive, but after some time, they're killed. When they're no longer sort of economically viable units, they become reduced to being economic units and not living beings. So there is debate among some devotees. And some devotees have already decided, actually, to not use commercial milk because of this abusive system, terrible system. And some devotees have become vegan. And I think, if I remember correctly, Devamrita Maharaj is vegan, if I remember correctly. Maybe only ahimsa milk, that's possible. But he's something like that. He won't, at least won't use commercial dairy products. Yeah. And, you know, he's very, very senior devotee. But there are devotees who are vegan and they just don't accept this idea at all. They've rejected it. Full stop. And the one part of the argument is that, you know, we say, okay, we offer a liter of milk to the deities. That liter of milk came from, you know, maybe 1,000 cows. It was just part of the milk. So from each cow, how much milk was in that liter of milk from each single cow? Maybe a drop or two or ten, but not a lot. Not a lot. You know, if cows, for example, cows produce 15 liters of milk a day, or perhaps 20, say 20, and there's 1,000 cows. Anyway, you can do the maths. You're a student, right? Technical? Oh, okay. Yeah, 20,000 liters. It's beyond my elderly brain. But you follow the idea. In that 1 liter, if we divide the 1 liter between the 1,000 cows, or maybe 10,000, or maybe more, maybe it's a drop or two. So how can we say that there's some benefit for the cow if it, one drop, one little droplet, was offered to Krishna? Well, you know, I would say that even if it is just one drop, there's benefit. There is benefit. There's great benefit. In fact, Srila Jiva Goswami says in one of his books, Sankalpa Kalpa Druma, he says that even though Lord Krishna is so great, he's greater than the greatest ocean. He's like an unlimited ocean. But still, and Jiva Goswami specifically says, he never forgets even the smallest drop of servants, even though he's so great, like an unlimited ocean. So every drop counts. Therefore, in the context of Maharaja's point, I would say there's benefit for the cows, who some of whose milk has been offered to the Lord and consumed by the devotees. What do you think?
Yeah. Okay.
So Maharaj thinks along those lines too. And as we know, of course, Srila Prabhupada used commercial milk, and he didn't make an issue of it. And it wasn't just because now it's become a controversy. They're like, Prabhupada never thought of it. Prabhupada was such a sharp thinker. You know, just almost inconceivably sharp thinker, that Prabhupada would have been aware, would definitely have been aware. Any other? Do you have some comment, Maharaj? He's not feeling so good. Any other comment? Any other comment or question? Oh, sorry. Yes, sir.
What happened to the Sena's sons?
Okay, so yeah, the story does go on. Like I said, sometimes Lord Nityananda, he was very extraordinary sometimes in things he'd do, like apparently extreme. And sometimes it was difficult for people to digest. So one of Shivananda's, Sen's sons was present. I mean, they were all present. But one of them saw this whole interaction and he got really upset with Lord Nityananda. Got really upset. And he left the party. And he went on to Jagannath Puri alone. And Lord Chaitanya met him, and Lord Chaitanya understood that this devotee is upset. Yeah. Anyway, he sort of survived. Yeah. But we should try and tolerate, particularly very great personalities. Be tolerant. Hare Krishna. Oh, okay, yes, sir.
One more question on the vegetables.
The vegetables.
The vegetables, because they were offered to Krishna, they will go back to God.
No, I didn't say that. Prabhupada said, you know, at least they'll get a human birth. In some cases, they may go back to Godhead.
But in the cases when they go back to God, is it that the vegetables have done some lot of devotional service? Because when compared to them, they're struggling so much. Might as well be vegetable and be offered and go back to God.
Well, that's an interesting suggestion. But, you know, if I was you, I would not try to sort of, you know, get into your next life as a vegetable right now. You're already in a situation. Just carry on. Just carry on. This is some special mercy. But it's not that it always happens. You might, for example, you might become a Kerala. Some of us like Kerala, some don't. And you might be offered, cooked in a not very nice way, mood, offered in a, you know, just sort of mechanical way, and then eaten by someone who doesn't like Kerala. And then they think, oh no, it's Kerala. And then you definitely wouldn't go back to God. Yeah. Who knows? You might become a Gulab Jamun. Anyway. Oh, Maharaj.
Sridhar.
Did Sridhar get into Lord Chaitanya's Leela? As I recall, you please correct me if I'm wrong. Is it that he stayed? Was it him or who was it? Who stayed in a cave in Govardhan Hill? Yeah, I think it's Sridhar. It's Abhiram. Oh, he became Abhiram. All right. Yes, Sridhar stayed in a cave. After Lord Krishna left, he stayed in a cave. Anyway, you know, you get different versions, different stories. But there's a story that he stayed in a cave in Govardhan and met, who was it? Lord Nityananda. Was it Lord Nityananda? Yeah. And then he became Abhiram Thakur. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Yeah.